Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in on your radio right now across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, or maybe you downloaded the podcast in your podcast app on your phone, or just went to sportingjournalradio.com and clicked on podcast there, listen and do it on demand right through the website. This week, we're going to talk to Hank Shaw. Since it's Thanksgiving week, we want to talk a little bit about food prep and wild game food prep. So we're going to give you some tips on preparing waterfowl, squirrel, even squab. That's right. Hank Shaw, wild game chef, coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio. Plus, Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism and Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. We'll talk Lake of the Woods and Devil's Lake as well. Those are a couple of our sponsors here on the radio show. Lake of the Woods Tourism, lakeofthewoodsmn.com, bringing you Sporting Journal Radio each week right here. Go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com to plan your ice fishing trip this winter to Lake of the Woods. Show's also brought to you by Fond du Lac Convention and Visitors Bureau, where they have the Sturgeon Spectacular on Lake Winnebago coming up February 5th through the 10th. The whole community celebrates the sturgeon spearing season. You have to apply for a tag every year by October 31st, but even if you don't have a tag, I've gone over there and just helped celebrate this dinosaur that they've done just a wonderful job of managing over there. It's a good time. They have live music on the ice. They have the world ice skating. I'm always going to screw this up. It's WISA, World Ice Sailing and Skating Association, something like that. They have the world champions for this. It's guys out there doing some incredible stuff on the ice on skates with big kites and windsurfing. It's pretty neat stuff. FDL.com/SS. For more information about the Sturgeon Spectacular. Show, of course, brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. They've got that fleet of snow bears to chase perch around on Devil's Lake this winter, and they've been making pretty good ice this year. I think they're going to be out in those snow bears pretty soon. Go to haybaleheights.com to reserve your trip in the snow bear and stay in one of their cabins on the east side of Devil's Lake, haybaleheights.com. Of course, the show is also brought to you by the TV show that I'm a part of, Prairie Sportsman, on Pioneer Public Television, the new season starting up January 27. You can watch it on all the public broadcasting channels across Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin. Check your guide, various services carriers. Check your guide for Prairie Sportsman to find out where you can watch Prairie Sportsman. It's also on TPT Minnesota all the time, like Tuesdays and Thursdays, four times a day or something like that. So very easy to watch Prairie Sportsman, or go to prairiesportsman.org. Now, our first guest is going to be Hank Shaw, wild game chef. Got to do some filming for Prairie Sportsman with Hank while we were in Brainerd, chasing around grouse and woodcock, and wanted to have him on the show. I actually had him on a couple of months ago to talk about squirrel, squab, sandhill crane, duck and goose, and also salmon fishing in Alaska. So we're going to do a best of Hank Shaw here for the Thanksgiving week on Sporting Journal Radio. Our guest right now is author and wild game chef Hank Shaw. And, you know, I was reading your Facebook page a little bit. You got a description on there, and you use the term, where is it? I got to find it here again. You use the term from field to table and nose to tail. Have you cooked tail before, Hank?
In fact, I have.
Really?
I will be honest. The only things I've ever cooked are oxtails, but it's a good expression.
So what kind of how much meat is on an oxtail?
Oh, lots. And it's some of the best meat on the whole cow.
Really? And mm-hmm. Is it all meat or is there some sort of bone in the middle?
Yeah, there's the bone in the middle. And so you go from a really big one at the base of the tail to really little ones at the end of the tail, and you slow braise them. So typically, if you like short ribs, if you like beef short ribs, you'll love oxtail.
Really? Interesting. Yep. I guess I've had some meat from a tail of an alligator, maybe. I don't know if that would be
the same thing
or not. But
You're right. I have cooked alligator tail.
There you go. All right. And then I wanted to talk to you a little bit, since waterfowl season's opening up right now. We've been eating a lot of goose from the early season, and I've had some delicious duck before. And then I was up in Saskatchewan, actually, last week, and hunted with my dad. He hadn't been up there. His father was born in Saskatchewan, and he hadn't been back since he was like 16 years old, 1956. So I had the opportunity to bring him up there and take him waterfowl hunting in Saskatchewan for the first time in over 60 years. So it was kind of a neat experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. And stayed with some friends of mine up at Trails End Outfitters on Tobin Lake and went fishing on Tobin for a little bit. He caught the biggest pike of his life. 43-incher up there, and then we went out and shot some snow geese and big Canada geese, little Canada geese, and then I really wanted to shoot a sandhill crane. And for some of our listeners, they may go, sandhill crane? I didn't think he could shoot those. And some people actually thought they were whooping cranes. I said, no, that's one's white. It's a different bird. But in only part of Minnesota, you can hunt them. In a big part of Minnesota, since we get two populations of sandhill cranes that come into Minnesota, they protect the eastern population for now. But up in the northwest corner, you can hunt them. And in the Dakotas, you can hunt them. And a number of other states, you can hunt them too. And I think they're delicious. And if one of our listeners, what's a quick tip for cooking sandhill crane that you would give somebody?
I'm going to give the same tip for cranes as you would with geese or any duck. Cook the breast meat like it's a steak and cook the legs as if it's brisket.
Hmm.
And it's, if you forget everything else about what we talked about, you will be okay if you remember that.
Well, is that so basically medium rare is kind of what you're thinking then?
Exactly. Yeah. So if it's no matter if it's a big Canada goose or a sandhill crane breast or a teal breast, you want to cook it medium rare. Now, the one caveat with like a big Canada goose is the breast meat could be a little tough. So you got to think of it more like a London broil than you would like a duck breast, which is much more tender. And here's the cool thing about cranes. Even though that cranes can live for quite some time and travel a long way, I've never had a tough crane breast. It's always very, very beefy and very, very, it's almost like a ribeye, which is why they call it the ribeye of the sky.
Ribeye of the sky. That's right. They're very delicious. Hank Shaw, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about preparing waterfowl on this waterfowl opener here in Minnesota and other states around the area as well. And I'm just going to move out of waterfowl and out of the region once again and talk Alaska, because you spent some time up in Alaska this summer.
I did. I got back on deck for the first time in, God, it's got to be 25 years.
Okay.
I worked as a commercial gill netter out of Juneau.
Now, hey, you had done that before?
Never as a gill netter. I'd worked a little bit of commercial fishing when I was in college, and then I'd worked as a deckhand on charter boats before, but I'd never worked on a net boat.
Okay. So you're out there in Alaska netting salmon.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go?
It went well. I mean, it's hard work. You know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, and it's one of those things where, you know, you're sore, you're tired, you're dinged up, but every fish that comes over the rail is, you know, it's a prize, right? Because we were fishing in a very high-end fishery where every fish that we got, we pressure bled. So you know, not only do you do regular bleeding and regular gilling and gutting on board every fish, but we actually did something called pressure bleeding. And if you want to see what that is, just Google how to pressure bleed a salmon, and you'll see me doing it. I have a video.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
It's the short version is you jam a needle in the main artery, and it flushes out a lot of blood out of every salmon, and it makes the fish cleaner tasting, and it will keep better.
So you guys did all that on the boat. Yeah, walk us through real quick how a day out there doing this would go.
Sure. So you get up before dawn and you go to where you want to set the net. And you, as soon as you get enough light to work, you set the net. The net's 1,200 feet long.
Wow.
And then you let it sit there for however long you need to let it sit. So ideally 90 minutes or so. And you watch for seals because they can steal all the fish out of your net. And you know, you haul the net, and then you got to strip out tons and tons and tons of jellyfish, which are super fun to have land on your head.
did that happen to you?
Yeah. And they, you know, the bright red ones sting like bee stings.
Oof-da. Well, I've heard what you're supposed to do if you get stung by a jellyfish.
No one's peeing on my head. Nuh-uh.
You knew where I was going with that.
I did.
And let's back up one more second too. So you're trying to keep seals out of there. What happens if you do see a seal?
You haul the net, you haul the net as fast as you can. Cause a seal will come by and bite the back half off of every fish. Sometimes. Yikes. Sometimes they'll just eat one or two, and that's cool. We just call that the seal tax. But every now and again, you'll get a nasty one, and they'll just eat all your stuff.
Oof. All right, so you're pulling jellyfish off your face.
Yep. And then a fish comes over, and then so it's just me and Tyson on the boat. So it's me and the captain, and each of us takes a side of the net, and you paw down through the webbing of the net to try and find that fish. And when you find that fish in the webbing, you flip him over so he's hanging. And then whoever is closest to it, you jam your fingers between the fish and the webbing and pop that fish out of the net. It's a gill net. So once the fish hits the ground, you pop one gill, jam your two fingers into the other side of the gills, carry them over to a big tank full of salt water and pop that second gill so that fish bleeds out. Hmm. So you do that over and over and over and over and over again until the net is clean. Then you reset the net. And then while that net is waiting, you know, is hopefully filling up with more fish, you take every single one of those fish you just bled and you gut them, you save the roe, you take the gills out, you take the heads off, and then you pressure bleed each one, one by one by one. And then as soon as they're done, they go into a seawater slurry. So it's seawater and ice that's about 27, 28 degrees. And and everything is done within minutes of that fish being caught.
So you're keeping it as fresh as possible. And when you say you're doing it to fish after fish after fish, how many fish on average are coming out of the net?
You know, an okay haul is 20, but sometimes it's 120.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez. You know, and knock on wood, we never had a water haul, which is when you haul the net and there's nothing in it.
Oh, well, that's pretty good then. And how many days did you do this?
So it's 48 to 72 hours of straight fishing, and then you're off for the rest of the week. But you know, it's not like you're sitting around eating bonbons. You're fixing the net, you're cleaning the boat up, you're packaging fish for customers and all that kind of stuff.
Talking with Hank Shaw, best of here on Sporting Journal Radio. Happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at the radio show. More with Hank coming up as he talks about commercial fishing in Alaska and more, and also some other recipes for waterfowl and things like that. So learn more about wild game cooking. He's got a new book, and it's called Pheasant Quail Cottontail. You might have seen him around the region. He was here this fall doing a book tour at various locations, and you can buy it at Hunter on his website, Hunter Angler Gardener Cook. And he's got a t-shirt too that he's donating all the money for. It's like 20 bucks, I think, something like that. And he's donating all the money to conservation. So if you buy his t-shirt, all the money goes into conservation. It's a great idea. Check him out, Hank Shaw, Hunter, Angler, Gardener, Cook. More with Hank coming up, plus Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism and Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network or by downloading the podcast or going to the website on demand. Make sure you find us on Facebook as well and follow us, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors right here, talking to Hank Shaw, talking about your time in Alaska before the break there. You're doing commercial fishing for salmon up there. We were talking about maybe getting up to 120 fish in a net, sometimes 20 fish. Never once did you pull up a net without a fish. So the guys you were working with obviously have this system down.
Right, right. So it's a very small fishery. So it's on the boat. It's just me and the captain. So, you know, you're staring at each other for long hours.
Just two of you guys out there. Okay, so how long, who are you with?
His name is Tyson Fick, and his our boat is the Heather Ann. And the fish that we're selling is through a company called Taku River Reds, T-A-K-U. Taku River Reds is it's like Copper River salmon, if you've heard of that. And it's just a high-end Alaska salmon fishery, and we sell to the public, actually.
Now, can people, is that salmon still available? Is it gone? Can people still get
it? It's available blast frozen.
Okay. And how do they get it?
You would get it through typically, well, if you're in the Twin Cities area, you can, the cheapest way would be to pick it up air cargo at the airport, but they will also send it through like, you know, FedEx or UPS.
Okay. Overnight. And you order from a website then?
You do. Taku River Reds.
All right, Taku River Reds. Hank Shaw, our guest, talking about commercial fishing in Alaska right now. So Tyson, did he just call you up and say, hey, you want to come up and do some commercial fishing this year?
Yeah, so we'd known each other for a while, and he knew that I was interested, and he needed some help. So I said, originally I was like, oh, you know, I've got this book tour. I'm trying to promote my book all over. And then I said, you know what? Yes, I do, yes.
Yeah. How do you pass up an opportunity to work in Alaska?
Yeah. You know, I mean, the best part about it is it reminds me of when I was a chef. It's athletic, it's physical, and you just put your head down and do your job. And there's something to be said about that.
Did you have some off time? Did you get to explore the state a little bit then?
Well, not so much the state, but we did a couple of recreational fishing trips, which was all kinds of fun.
Oh yeah. What'd you catch?
Let's see. We caught Alaskan pollock. We caught Alaskan, you know, Pacific codfish. We caught a couple of big halibut, a couple of rockfish, but we were mostly targeting halibut. So that's what we were looking for.
I would love to do that just for the halibut. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. A joke I learned when I was six. Thank you.
Try
very much.
The veal.
Yeah. I want to go to Alaska so bad, and I would love to go up there and fish. I know the fishing is incredible, but I'll be completely honest. For a long time, I've wanted to go up and bow hunt caribou, but I think my number one bucket list item right now is to sea duck hunt in Alaska.
I got the hookup for that.
Oh, really?
Yep. We could do it in 2019 if you wanted.
I would be very interested in doing that.
You can pretty much, in the Inland Passage, so right out of Juneau, you can book hunts that will pick up pretty much all of the sea ducks except for like the two weird eiders. You can get the normal eider, but then the king, and I think there's one other eider that you can still shoot, and that you have to go to the Aleutians for that. And that's a different adventure.
Hank Shaw's our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. So do you have a home restaurant that you cook at or that people can come eat your dishes at all?
Oh, thank God, no. No, because, you know, I like to say that I've graduated from it, because sure. if I had a home restaurant, I'd have to care about that home restaurant. And I travel just too much to have kind of such a responsibility for, you know, a restaurant's kind of a marriage.
Yeah.
And you can't, it's like being a dairyman, you know, and you can't neglect it.
Yeah. Yeah. It would take up all your time, I suppose, and make it hard to do some of the things that you're doing. So then when you're at home, do you cook a lot at home, or does it become like work? So you just maybe microwave some Stouffer's chicken Alfredo and watch Netflix?
I will tell you that when I come home from book tour, so, you know, there are these little 2-day windows in between, you know, trips to here or there. I do get pretty burned out. So those are the days where I would never do like something like Stouffer's. It's just not me. But I've pressure canned a whole bunch of, you know, Chili Verde elk or wild boar Chili Colorado or whatever. And it's my own canned food. And so I'll pop that open and, you know, make some rice or whatever, and then sit that and watch SportsCenter. And so that's the days where I just can't bear to cook. But when I'm actually home, you know, this tour finishes in December. When I'm actually home, yeah, I cook almost every day, you know, probably 5 days a week.
Well, I give you credit for that, because that's one of my biggest problems is by the time I'm home and I'm hungry, I like to cook. I just don't always have the patience for the time that it takes to do it right.
That's fair. But, you know, this is it's kind of my job. So, I mean, the way I view it is I test recipes all the time.
Oh, sure.
So that when I tell you that this recipe for sea duck or squirrel or pheasant or whatever works, you know, it works. And because I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I make.
I'll make a lot of mistakes that you've never made. I'm sure when I cook, but Hank, are you cooking up plans for another book at all?
Yeah, I'm working with, my girlfriend, Holly Heiser, and we are planning a book of essays about hunting, because we haven't really done a kind of a literature book. but we both came to hunting as adults, and we both came to it as adults writers in Minnesota, of all places. And so we have a lot to say about this crazy pursuit of ours. We want to get that down in book form.
And once again, where can people buy your books now that you have out?
Anywhere. So Amazon would be the easiest, but you can literally buy them wherever fine books are sold.
And your website, I'm sure, has links to them as well.
It does. And that is huntgathercook.com.
The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Happy Thanksgiving week here from all of us. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on the Sporting Journal Radio Network with that podcast app or on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. And find us on Facebook as well, Sporting Journal Radio. All right, now we're going to head up to Devil's Lake and check in with Lucas Mertens. We actually stopped in there the first time I had a chance to fish out of a snow bear at Haybale Heights. It was 47 below zero, and we sat down afterwards. This was in February 2017. We sat down afterwards and talked with Lucas in his shop there at the resort, and we're going to hear from Lucas right now. And now we're kicking back in the lodge, the shop area here at Hay Bale Heights. We had a great couple of days out on the ice on Devil's Lake with Lucas Mertens, owner of Hay Bale Heights here. And first of all, just sitting in here, this is a cool trophy room you got here, Lucas.
Well, thank you. We got some whitetails, we got some exotic animals, and we got some fish, which we're after, you know, we were after today.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about the fish, but I was really surprised at the number of whitetails that there are around here.
Yeah, the deer are really herded up right now. It's cold, they're looking for food. But most of these deer that you see here were all hunted with the family, a couple relatives of ours, and we just really love to hunt. It's kind of a passion of ours, just like the fishing is.
Sure, and I see a lot of the names, and I see Mertens as a pretty common last name on some of these animals, and that's your family, obviously, and you grew up on a family farm just down the road from here, right?
Yeah, I lived in Devil's Lake my whole life, farmed with my family, my dad and three uncles, went to school, went to college, and then came back and took over the farm, and then we had the idea to kind of build Hay Bale Heights. About 2008, I had the idea, but it took me about 2 years to convince some of the older guys that this would be kind of a different step to go, and it's turned out really well.
When you had that idea in 2008, you're sitting around going, gosh, I want to start Hay Bale Heights. Did you what you have now? Is that what the idea was? Or what was the original idea? Was it, because you have the campground here, you've got the marina, you've got the guided ice fishing, you got the cabins. How did the idea start? What was the idea, original idea?
Well, the original idea was to put in a few permanent camping spots, and then to have maybe a few cabins for some fishermen to come and rent. And it didn't take very long to find out that the need was there, the demand was there. So what we originally started with was way too small. We seen that right away. So we kind of went into fast mode, and and basically in 7 years, we went from 60 campers and two cabins to 235 campers and six cabins, and then now a full-fledged guide service for ice fishing and summer fishing.
235, that's quite the campground, the sites there. Is that electric, water? What do you offer in the campground? And how full? It's pretty full most of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a huge waiting list to get into the campground. It's full hookup. It's sewer, power, water. Guys pull in. They use the spots as kind of their summer homes. They really make it nice. They really fix them up nice. And it's a really tight, close community up there. Everybody knows everybody, and it's just a good time.
Where are you located on the lake, and as far as proximity to the town, where is Hay Bale Heights?
Well, Hay Bale Heights is about 6 miles east of Devil's Lake, right on the south side of Highway 2. We got about a quarter mile gravel drive to get here, so short gravel. You pop back on the highway, you can be to town in about 5 minutes. We're about 90 miles from Grand Forks, west of Grand Forks. So we got a really nice location. We're far enough out of town to feel like we're in the country, but we're not so far that you can't go to town and get what you need.
Lucas Mertens, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. We're sitting at Hay Bale Heights right now. We just spent a couple of days on the ice here at Devil's Lake, which is what I really want to talk to you about, because it's Devil's Lake. You think about Devil's Lake, so many things come to mind, from world-class fishery, amazing duck factory, duck area here, waterfowl production and stopover, and whitetails too. It's a neat area here. Kind of God's country, really, if you like the outdoors. This is such a cool spot here. When we were out there for the last couple of days, you think about the amazing fishing on this lake, and yeah, it was cold, and it was during the week, but you'd expect to see more people out there. That snow bear is the way to go. That thing, you can pretty much take that thing anywhere, can't you?
Yeah, the snow bear is great, whether it's 40 below or even if it's 30 above, it goes wherever you want it to go. You're comfortable. It's a nice visiting atmosphere when you're fishing. It's just a relaxing way to go. You know, you can take it to your spot, and if it's nice out and you want to get outside and do some hole hop, and you have the capability of doing that, and you can pop right back in and have a sandwich or visit or warm up a little bit if it's cold out.
Yeah, and it was cold out. It was cold out. I didn't put my gloves on at all because we stayed inside, and it was nice and warm. You get to your spot, the hydraulic, you drop it down onto the ice, you drill your holes, you're fishing. But the real nice thing about it is if you're, you know, especially perch fishing, you got to be on the move a little bit, you just pop her back up and you can go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's the great thing about the Snow Bear. You know, basically in a minute, if you don't like where you're fishing, you just lift it up and move. You can move 50 feet, you can move 500 feet, or you can move 5 miles. And it's a nice way so we can target different fish during the day too. We can set up on walleyes in the morning when that sun's coming up, and then we can go out into the perch bite, and then we can go back to walleyes or pike towards evening. Gives us versatility to move around.
You think about perch on Devil's Lake, of course, and I mean, people, you've been seeing some 15 inchers come out of here pretty recently.
Yeah, we've had some 15 inch fish come out, a lot of 12 and a half, you know, even up, you know, between that 12 and 14 range, but we've had some 15s come out this year.
Amazing perch, of course, walleyes, big walleyes, and a lot of eater walleyes. It seems like you can catch walleyes at will out there, but kind of one of the underrated fish of this lake, and it shouldn't be because they're huge, and a lot of people know that there's big pike on this lake, but the northern pike, I mean, we caught a couple just perch fishing, and these are 30 plus inch fish.
Yeah, I think the northern pike kind of get a bad rap. Devil's Lake is a phenomenal fishery for pike. If a guy wants to go out and target pike, you should have no problem bringing home limits every day. A lot of big fish too, you know, 30 inch all the way up to 40 inch fish. It's pretty common.
And what I think, wasn't there a 48 and a half or a 49 and a half that came out a couple of years ago or something like that? Big fish.
Oh yeah, you'll see the occasional lot of 45s, you know, plus that'll come out.
Hay Bale Heights is where we're at, just on Devil's Lake here. We're talking with Lucas Mertens. He's the owner here at Hay Bale Heights. Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort here in Devil's Lake. And you got a cabin. Let's talk about those cabins for a second again, because we walked into ours, and it was like much larger than I had imagined it being. And I walked into one of the big bedrooms, and there's a bathroom in there that was, you know, I could have fit six of my bathrooms into that one bathroom. There's a jacuzzi in the middle of it. Accommodations are pretty comfortable here. Plus, you have the other cabins too.
Yeah, we have 5 2-bedroom cabins, and they're real cozy. Everything has a full working kitchen. We supply all the pots and pans. So guys, all they got to do is show up. They either go buy groceries, or they can bring stuff already pre-made. And then we have 1 3-bedroom cabin with 2 bathrooms, and that one will sleep up to 10. And we just kind of built things that we've experienced on hunting trips that we liked, and that's kind of how we did things around here.
Well, I think it's great. The cabins are nice. The fishing was great. The Snow Bear is amazing, you know, and it's the way to go. It's a great great way to do it. You can come up here, stay in a comfortable place, go out and fish comfortably on a cold, windy. I mean, it's never windy on Devil's Lake. All of a sudden, we must have got the only 2 days out of the year that it's windy on Devil's Lake. But it's cold and windy out there. You can relax in the Snow Bear, and obviously people can get those packages and come up here and do that kind of thing. And I just think this place is a neat story, because learning a little bit more about you and growing up here on a dairy farm in North Dakota, because you don't hear a whole lot about dairy farms in North Dakota, first of all.
Yeah, my family did dairy farm for 58 years, and we decided with the lake coming up and the levee that protected the town was right in our backyard, we didn't really have the space to do what we wanted to do anymore, so we had to diversify, and this is what we came up with, and it's been a good move, and we really enjoy it.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a Snow Bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The Snow Bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a Snow Bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. February 5th through the 10th in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Visit FTL.com for more information. That's FTL.com. Hey, anglers. Looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. This is Sporting Journal Radio, heard on the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by listening to the podcast in your favorite podcast app. Very simple to listen to. And find us on Facebook as well, Sporting Journal Radio. We're going to talk to Joe Henry right now. I actually sat down with him back in August to learn a little bit more about the history of Lake of the Woods.
We're actually sitting right now kind of on the banks of the Rainy River here up here at Lake of the Woods. Joe Henry is joining us. We're sitting here at a cabin at Ballard's. We've been up here filming for Prairie Sportsman. And Joe, this has been, you know, one of the things I enjoy about doing this job with Prairie Sportsman, filming this TV show, and some outdoors television is all about going out there and catching limits or shooting a big buck, this and that. We're out there trying to find stories, and we got maybe some of the neatest stories that I've had the chance to listen to over the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's certainly more of a cultural piece about the area and about the history of Lake of the Woods versus going out and whacking a bunch of walleyes, you know, and it's kind of cool. I told you this last night, you know, we're coming back, but, you know, yesterday was one of those days that we had the opportunity to interview some people that had been around Lake of the Woods for a good long time. And it was very, very much an honor to be able to sit down with these people and to hear these stories of the old days of when they first started. And I'll tell you, a lot of things were impressed upon me. You know, one of the things certainly is that, you know, if you're a resort owner, just like today, but certainly back in the day, you had to be a worker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting up at 4 a.m, going out to fish houses, drilling the holes out every morning, lighting the stoves.
Chiseling out the house.
Chiseling
the
in
holes
some cases,
sometimes.
Coming back in, making sure we've got coffee and has had breakfast, and 7 o'clock, taking them out. And then, I mean, just the stories go on and on. And boy, Brett, we heard a lot of good ones yesterday, didn't we?
We really did. And that's what we wanted to find out, what it was like 40, 50, 60, 100 years ago up here. Because some of these places up here, Joe, go back to the late 1800s.
Yeah. Yeah. We spent some time in a boat yesterday with Ed and Jack Arneson of Arneson's Rocky Point. And you want to talk about history going back to 1897.
Yeah.
You know, they started out as a commercial fishing operation and then morphed into a very, very successful, nice, you know, sports fishing resort as it is now. And it was really a cool day. And you know what? Hey, it was kind of fun being out in the boat. There was a little bit of a chop. Literally went out of the harbor, turned left, went to 19 feet of water, turned the key off, drifted and caught walleyes, jumbo perch. I mean, it was just... You know, it's stupid.
Yeah, and a slot fish, and, you know, that was the thing you hear about. You go out in a boat with somebody like that's been on the lake for as long as the Arnesons have, and it was literally, are we going to go to a secret spot? He's going to find this rock pile that nobody knows about out here. No, just, yeah, went to 19 feet, started drifting.
Yeah.
Caught fish.
We caught fish right away.
Boom.
Well, you know, we're drifting spinners yesterday, and it was kind of cool because, yeah, you know, we filmed, so we had the Arneson boys in the back of that sport craft, and you know, doing some filming and stuff for the show. But, you know, all along we had lions in the water. We're picking at them. Of course, afterwards we have to go into the Rock Harbor Lodge and have a fresh fish fry. And,
oh, man.
You know, a couple of Diet Cokes, I guess you'd call them. And,
yeah, but, something like that.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, it was pretty cool.
Talking with Joe Henry here on Sporting Journal Radio. We're at Lake of the Woods right now. Not only did we get to talk to some of the, I don't want to call them old timers necessarily, but the guys with the wisdom and experience on the lake. How about that? The guys that have been here forever. But we got to see a lot of the different lodges. I've been into a lot of the different resorts in the last couple of days that I hadn't been into before. And sometimes you just don't really realize some of these, you'll hear a name maybe. I'm like, oh yeah, that place is down the road. I haven't been in there. And then you walk into it, it's like, wow, this place is really nice.
Yep. You know, yesterday we were in three different resorts. And you know, when we do a show like this, there are dozens of people that we could have contacted. Mm-hmm. For the sake of how much time we have to put on the TV show, you know, we have to kind of pick and choose. So in this case, we were at Ballard's, and then we ended up, we had Steve Ballard at Ballard's, and then we went over and spoke to Mike Truman, formerly of Border View Lodge, and then we went and saw the Arneson boys. So that's for starters. And, you know, one thing I'll say about Lake of the Woods Resorts, and I have the privilege of working with all of them, and, you know, every resort has its own culture. Mm-hmm. You know what? If you want to go and do the full service thing, if you want a little bit nicer, if you want a little bit more home style, do you want log cabin-y? Do you want salad bar and prime rib? You know, do you want to go to a cute little place that makes their own hand-pressed cheeseburgers and has, you know, all-you-can-eat tacos? I mean, you know, every place has its own little culture. And depending upon who you're with and what your style is, there's a lot of cool places to choose from. It's kind of neat, even yourself, Brett, being, you know, very privy to Lake of the Woods. You see new places and you're like, holy smokes, look at that.
Right. You know, and honestly, my experience on Lake of the Woods has been almost exclusively staying at places on the river.
Yeah.
So to go out and see what Rocky Point looked like and see what Arneson's and see that sunset come down over the lake, I mean, it's a beautiful, a new place to the lake for me.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because over on the Arneson's Rocky Point faces that west, and you know, when that sun sets and it's a clear night, that comes across just like an ocean. It comes across Lake of the Woods. And of course, their Rock Harbor Lodge, their restaurant and bar, is set up so all the windows are facing that sunset. So, yep. I mean, it's a million-dollar view. And last night, of course, we were very privy to that. And it was just a special day. I can't say enough about it. And, you know, it's fun, too. You know, you go back to the the lodge, you know, and tie the boat up, and you got people coming in. How'd you guys do? Yeah, we whacked them today. You know, we got our biggest was 28 and a half, and we saw a picture of a little Madeline Arneson, Mark Arneson's daughter.
Yeah.
You know, 9 years old, holding up a walleye that's bigger than she is practically. Yeah. It's on her Facebook page, but unbelievable.
And caught it herself, reeled it in herself, 9 years old, bigger. It took me 35 years to catch a fish that big. Nine years old, and she's got it, of course.
Well, she's got the gene pool going too, doesn't she?
Gene pool and Lake of the Woods, yeah, of course, right. Especially. Lake to be living on. And Joe, obviously Lake of the Woods tourism, you've been coming up before you were with tourism. You've been coming up here for many years before that. You know the lake well, you know the area well. You got to hear some stories. You got to hear some things, I bet, that you'd never heard of before.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've heard a lot of stories, but you know, one of the reasons you and I had spoken about doing this show was because there are so many stories out there that are so cool that speak to the history of Lake of the Woods. And, you know, whether you're somebody that comes to Lake of the Woods, whether you're a historian, whether it's just kind of a human interest piece where you hear the people talk about these things and you see their look and you hear their accent and you think about their history and they talk about their grandparents and they talk about, I mean, it's a whole myriad of fishing, of Lake of the Woods, of history, of culture, of coming to the United States for their ancestors.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Rocky Point, you know, I don't know if it'd be their great, great grandfather or what, but they, you know, how did they get there? They walked. Walked to Rocky Point. That's the first, you know?
Yeah. So, and when I heard the story, I couldn't believe it because, I mean, I guess it makes sense. Back then, he didn't have, you know, half ton pickups he could jump in and drive across the state, you know. But he's like, yeah, you know, he walked from the Red River Valley. And I was like, well, we're in the Red River Valley. And he was talking about that Warren Alvarado area where his ancestors settled. They came down from Canada and settled there. And I said, my great grandparents came down from Canada and settled in that Warren Alvarado area. So their ancestors and my ancestors might have been neighbors.
it's amazing. You know, you start talking around and, but to your point, I mean, you don't think about things like that. And when you think about the history, it's like, oh my goodness, just really, yeah, for me, even getting around to all the resorts all the time, really an honor to hear those stories yesterday and to be able to think about them and share them and be in the presence of some people that are certainly Lake of the Woods icons. You know, there's a lot more people that are, that could be put in that category as well.
Absolutely.
So understand we couldn't get to everybody, but the folks we did speak to yesterday, really quality individuals, really just some neat conversations.
Yeah. And they're, you know, kind of a sampling of some of those other people that are out there as well that really have made the lake and the look of the lake and the way things are here. It is the way it is because of these people.
Absolutely. They forged the way. Yep. And they're the innovators. They're the ones that came up with a way to get people safely out in the ice and warmly out in the ice. They're the ones that came up with, all right, how do we build a big fish house that we can pull that's going to be easier to pull? Well, let's start out by building a good platform with skids, and then we're going to put Hyphax on the skids. And I mean, all these different nuances. They didn't just happen. It's through trial and error.
Joe Henry is our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's with Lake of the Woods Tourism. We're on the Rainy River right now, Ballard's Resort. We got to go to a number of resorts while we were up here and talk to some of these guys. We're filming for Prairie Sportsman for an episode that's going to air early 2019. And Joe, I want you to pick out a story or two that we kind of heard yesterday that we can kind of share on the radio show here.
Oh man. Yeah. You know, those are the stories that, you know, maybe family and friends get to hear. It's about history of fishing, of the resort industry in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's about people forging a way of life. Starting a business, family members participate in. It's about tragedy along the way and some of the hardships they faced. You know, one of them was how the Arnis boys were talking about how some of the natives would come across from Canada and they would trade goods with them. So they'd bring goods over and they'd trade for fish. And the other one I kind of liked is how the Arnisons were talking about when their father was out on the ice netting and got caught in a whiteout and had no idea which way the resort was. And he told those horses to go home. And of course those horses led him back to the resort. You know, so many stories like that just really, really impactful.
Well, and that Arnison family, so it was Barney Arnison that arrived. He was born in Norway in 1871 and then arrived at Rocky Point in 1897. Just think of the journey he had before he walked to Lake of the Woods from the Red River Valley. Hey guys, I'm going to go for a hike. I'm going to go look for Lake of the Woods.
Well, and you know, think about how much or how little he perhaps knew.
Sure.
How good were the maps? How much did they know about Lake of the Woods? How much did they know about that shoreline? What you know, did he go there with the intent of starting a fishing operation? If that's the case, how old did he know commercial fishing? Did he do it in Norway? Did his ancestors do it? I mean, that, you know, those are the kind of things that you think about. Oh, he walked, and that's how they settled Arnisons. But when you really dig into it, my goodness, imagine us doing that right now in a remote area of Canada and no way. I mean, that would be crazy.
All right, thanks to Lake of the Woods Tourism, Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, Prairie Sportsman, and Fond du Lac Sturgeon Spectacular. You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.